Good morning and welcome, Central Family. It's good to get together on these Sunday mornings. We appreciate you joining us, whether you're here in the auditorium or if you're viewing us online, welcome. Hope you will be uplifted and encouraged by this assembly. And we hope you will join in and offer up your hope-filled honor of God as we sing worship songs to him and pray and do the other things that the disciples did in the first century. Now, Phil, Brother Phil is going to lead us in song.
Good morning. If you're following in or in the book, the first two songs we'll sing together. The first song will be hymn number 103, He Has Made Me Glad. And then we'll follow that up with hymn number 100, Holy Ground.
I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
Let's sing together hymn number 42. 42, How Majestic Is Your Name.
Oh,
Before we're led in prayer, we'll sing together hymn number 53. 53.
Go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this day that you have blessed us with. Lord, we know that we have lives that are full of blessings because of you. And Father, we truly do adore you. And we come today together to worship you on this first day of the week. We thank you for this country that we live in, Lord. We thank you for the freedoms that we enjoy. We thank you that we can live here without fear of persecution, that we can worship you in the way that you have prescribed, and we can worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we thank you for this time right now. We love this season, Lord, with the long days and the children playing outside so late in the evening. We thank you for that time, but Lord, we know that the school is quickly approaching again. We pray that you will be with our children, that you will be with them at school, and you will protect them and keep them safe and help them to model Christ in what they do and what they are learning, that they can influence others to be more Christ-like and to be more kind, to be more gracious, to be more merciful, and to be more like Jesus each day. We pray that the parents can help in this, and then we can be the same, Lord, as we grow and mature in our faith. Lord, we thank you so much for this church. We know its cost was so precious and so precious to you. We thank you for the congregation of this church that meets here, Lord. We thank you so much for the hearts that want to please you and want to worship you and want to serve you. We know that there are many good works and many good deeds that go throughout our community and go throughout the world, really, because of the Christians that meet here, Lord, because of your son, Jesus. We thank you for the works that go on here, especially for the ministries. We pray for the brethren that are in other countries this first day of the week, that are doing likewise this morning. We know that some of them live in much less comfortable circumstances, without air conditioning, without floors. Some of them live in fear of constant interruption of services from outside forces and evil influences, Lord. We pray that you be with these brethren and sisters, and you strengthen them and give them the courage and the strength to continue in their service of you, and give us the mindset that we need to have for all the true riches that you have blessed us with, and not to take those for granted, Lord. Pray for our brethren behind bars. We know that there are many believers and servers of Jesus Christ that are in prison, Lord, who have made changes. And we pray that their changes may continue and their spiritual growth may continue, and they can truly let the Christ Jesus shine in their lives amongst the other inmates, and they can truly be servants of the kingdom, Lord. In this congregation, Lord, we pray especially for our membership here, and that you may be with the trials and tribulations that life has to throw at us, Lord. We know that you'll be there through the good times and the bad, Lord. We pray that we not only rely on you during the bad times, but that we remember that you're the God of the good times as well, Lord. Help us to turn to you no matter what. Pray be with our leadership here, and pray be with the elders and the deacons, and watch over all the many ministries that go on here, and help to further them and to help them grow and help them to be a light within the community and to show others Jesus in what we do, Lord. We pray for those in this congregation this morning that are sick and those who are hurting. We know that there are some that have to have surgery. We know that there's others that are recovering from surgery. We know others that have gotten scary diagnoses, Lord. We pray that you be with them, give them courage, and we hope that your will can be done in their lives and that they can get restored health or renewed health if it be your will, Lord. We pray that you'll watch over our service and worship this morning, that the things that we think about and the things that we sing may be more than words, Lord, but may be pleasing to your ears and come from our hearts. Please forgive us when we fail you, when we fall short. Lord, we are only human. We make many mistakes on a daily basis, and we pray that you'll forgive these transgressions because of the blood of Jesus Christ, and help us to keep our eye on the goal, Lord. Pray this in Jesus' name, amen.
Would you please stand with me as we sing together hymn number 470? 470, Victory in Jesus.
Thank you.
seated. Our song of invitation following our scripture reading and lesson will be hymn number 794. 794.
We do have the children's training class today, so if you're planning on utilizing that, then now would be your opportunity to do so. And the scripture reading will be from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, and I'll be reading from the ESV. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth from a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you.
We have at our disposal a very powerful tool that God has given us, and that prayer power is prayer. I've had a couple of requests for prayers this morning that I want us to address first before we get into the lesson. And the first is that we have heard yesterday that Tristan French has walking pneumonia. Now we've learned that Bella also has been diagnosed with that. And the prayer is, pray that Georgie, the newborn in the French family, not contract this. And so we're going to be praying for that, of course. And I've already heard from two or three of you about disturbing things that you saw last night as you watched television, and how this represents growing darkness, perhaps. Well, undoubtedly it does. Two reactions. One, why should that surprise us? We live in a world that is, greatly influenced by Satan. And we're going to pray that the world can see light and that it will do better than it's been doing. But I also think we should pray for ourselves. I mean, what have we been doing so far this morning as we began this service? We've been praising God. I mean, we serve God. The light is the victory. Our faith is the victory. And so let's pray for ourselves that we not become distracted. Dan this morning was talking about that great example of how I can't be bothered with your complaints. We're doing a great work here rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. I'm not going to be distracted by your accusations and by your complaints. We're focused on the mission of God. And I pray that's what we'll do as well. When we see things like this, and we're going to see them many times throughout our lives, but let's never forget, we serve the Almighty God. And if we'll let our light shine, we are doing our part in pushing back the darkness. So let's pray together. Would you bow with me? Holy God, we praise you. You are greater than all. You are the creator. You are the sustainer of life. You are the one who mercifully gives us everything that we need. And especially you've given us your son, Jesus, as our savior. And Father, we bow before you and we honor you and we pray for your help. Father, we want to pray for the French family. We pray that you will help Tristan and now Bella to overcome this sickness that they have contracted, and that it will not be difficult for them, but that very soon they'll be back doing the things that they enjoy. And please protect Georgie, the newborn child in this family, that she might not get it. Lord, we depend on you to help this child. You have helped her, and We pray that you'll continue. And Father, we are disturbed when we see the things that happen around us in this world. Like Lot of old, our souls are vexed. We know this is sin, Father, and we are just troubled by it. But may we not be distracted by the darkness and forget that we have the light. And may we all determine that we're going to trim our lamps today, right now, as we worship you, Father. We're going to trim our lamps so that our light will burn more brightly than ever, and that the world will see there is a better way to live, the way of life. Father, we need your help. Always have, always will, and you've been faithful to us. So please, Lord, bless us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're so glad you're with us today. We have visitors with us. I've met people that I've not met before, as is almost always the case on Sunday mornings. And we're glad that you come our way and hope that you'll come and be with us again whenever you're in the area. If you're in the area, come and join us regularly. We'd love that. We want you to feel a part of our family here. And if we can help in any way possible, we'd love to do that. All of you that are online, we're so glad that you have joined us as well. Some of you are unable to get out, and we're thankful we can offer this service to you. Others may be temporarily not able to be with us, but we're just glad that you've joined us for our worship service today. And we hope you'll come back and join us again this evening at 6 o'clock. Lord willing, we'll meet again at that time. We're going to finish our short series on Luke parables. We've done a couple of those already, parables that are found only in the Gospel of Luke. And tonight we're going to be talking about the parable of the barren fig tree. That's found in Luke 13. So do your homework and read that parable and the surrounding verses. And let's come together tonight and extract from God's rich word nutrients that will keep us going throughout the week. God always knows what to give us. Now get your Bible out. Let's get into the Word of God. Let's find these things that are so much a blessing for our souls and know that we're going to be blessed if we hear His Word. Now, most of us are concerned at one time or another with our physical health. Maybe for some, it's only when that health is not there. Others of us think, well, maybe I need to maintain it even when I'm healthy, and that's the better approach. But let's suppose that you go to a new doctor. Got to find a new doctor for one reason or another. And you find out pretty quickly, this doctor has been trained in Egyptian medical arts. I'm talking about ancient Egyptian medical arts. And there's quite a body of literature that can be found of those ancient Egyptian arts. The Book of Hebrews is one of the more famous ones, but there's others as well. And how are you going to respond to that? This doctor is trained in all of the ancient medical arts. Are you going to say, that's the doctor for me? I doubt it. I think most of us would like to say, my doctor knows all the latest advances. He or she knows the latest drugs that are available to treat this condition or that. We want somebody that is cutting edge, maybe not a surgeon, but we want somebody that is cutting edge in their knowledge of medicine. Why is it different when it comes to our souls? Because week after week, we talk about the Bible, and can we not agree this is an ancient book? I mean, literally, it is an ancient book. Then the most recent part of the Bible is getting close to 2,000 years old. That's ancient. And so why is it different for our souls that we would turn to that when our souls are going to outlast our bodies? It will go on into eternity. Why trust those words of an ancient book? We sometimes sing a song called Ancient Words. It's one of the newer ones that we've learned, a new song about ancient words. But it's a good song, really good song. It was first released in 2002, I understand, recorded by Michael W. Smith. But it talks about those ancient words. In fact, let me read just a few of the words of one of the lines. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Is there truth in that song, or is it just a song? You know, some songs we sing, not in church, but some that we may sing outside of church, you know, they may be true, they may not be. But what about this? Ancient words change us. They have truth. And why should we bring our hearts and open them? Let's talk about that idea of ancient words and why we should pay attention to them. Well, first of all, let's talk about this idea, and that is ancient words does not mean antiquated words. I think that's important to begin with. Ancient words does not mean antiquated words. Now, what do I mean by antiquated? Well, antique, that's a similar word. It's part of the same idea. And you know, when we go to Cracker Barrel, we kind of enjoy sitting there while we're waiting for our food to come and looking at the decor all around us, and it's antiques of one kind or another. And we think, wow, you know, that would be tough to live back in those times when you had to use a washboard and you had to use a butter churn. And look at that plow. I mean, you had to actually get out and walk behind a mule pulling a plow. Well, how many of us go and say, you know what, when I get home, I'm going to order one of those. I want to start using that. We don't do that, do we? Those are antiquated. They're no longer useful for us. We don't want that anymore. That's not the idea with ancient words. Ancient words does not mean antiquated words. And so let's look at this idea briefly. Let's talk about how God has nothing at all about antique about him. Go to Psalm 145 with me, Psalm 145 and verse 13. And here, stated in a very concise way, is one of the major doctrines of the Bible. This is so important that we grasp this. Psalm 145 and verse 13. He said, "Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations." Now, the one who wrote those words, we're told, is David. David was a king. David understood this idea about having a kingdom and about having a dominion, but his dominion was very limited. Very limited. And as he grew older, he knew the time is running out. I will not be king much longer. My time has come to an end. But he said of God, "Your kingdom is everlasting. It does not ever end. And your domain, your dominion, endures throughout all generations." So what we're talking about there is the idea of God being eternal. God has no beginning. God has no end. God is eternal. And then add to that these words found in Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. Malachi 3, verses 6 and 7. Now, Malachi was written toward the, getting about 450 years before New Testament times. And the people of Judah had again strayed away from him. They were not holding true to the covenant like they should have been doing. And so God rebukes them. Listen to what he says in Malachi 3, 6 and 7. "I, the Lord, do not change. I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts." So God is saying to the people there, you've strayed away from my word again, like your fathers did. You've not kept the laws that I gave to your fathers. And what laws was he talking about? Well, it was the law of Moses. It was still in effect at that time. And about how long had they had those laws? Well, it would be about 1,000 years. They had had it for about 1,000 years. And yet God is saying, you still answer to me on the basis of those laws. Now, they could have said, well, Lord, those are antique words. They're no longer applicable. And yet God said, they are. I expect you to follow them, because they are my words. I do not change. I am eternal. Don't look at the things I give you as you might something that people would give you. And then Peter sums it up, I think, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8 in this way. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. Again, talking about how God is not bound by time. He says, do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. What does that mean? It means that God is not controlled by time. God really doesn't answer to time. Now, you and I, we do. We respond to time, and we don't like that, but it's an undeniable fact. We are very much governed by time, not God. And so God, whatever he does, whatever he says, has to be understood in this light, that God is eternal. Now, somebody may say, now, wait a minute. What about the Old Testament? What about the, you tell us that the Old Testament is no longer binding on us. Why do you do that? Well, let's talk about that. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 13. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 13. And here we're going to find a statement about that Old Testament. The writer has already quoted from a large section of Jeremiah 31. And the point was, a new covenant. God had promised in Jeremiah 31, the days are coming, I'm going to give a new covenant to my people. And the writer is saying, that day has come. Now listen to what he says in Hebrews 8:13. In speaking of a new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete. He makes the first one obsolete. And what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. So the old covenant, he said, is becoming obsolete. It's about ready to vanish. We're no longer going to be governed by that. Well, couldn't we apply that same idea to the New Testament? I mean, at that time, it was 1,500 years old. Now we're talking about something 2,000 year old for us. No, it's not the same. Because what he's saying there is that the binding of the covenant is about to vanish away. Now also notice Romans 15 and verse 4 as we're talking about this, because this needs to be understood. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, and why do we keep going back to the Old Testament? I mean, I used it already in this lesson. I'm going to use it again. But listen to what he says in Romans 15 and verse 4. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. And so he's saying there, even though it's no longer binding on us, that is the old covenant that God gave through Moses on Mount Sinai, that's no longer binding. It's obsolete. And yet learning from it is still valuable. It gives us encouragement. It gives us hope. It helps sustain us. And that's why we keep going back to the Old Testament to learn from it. But that doesn't say that because it's ancient, it's going to be obsolete. Now, the world is telling us today, that book you follow, I mean, okay, New Testament. You're following the New Testament. Still, it's ancient. It's obsolete. No, we say, it is still the Word of God. And that has not changed in 2,000 years. Let's look again at the passage that was read just before the lesson this morning, and that is in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Andy read this for us. Let's look at it again and really see what it says. 1 Peter 1, beginning in verse 22. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. That's how we're born again, through the imperishable seed of the living and abiding word of God. For, verse 24, all flesh is like grass, all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. Now let's get that in our minds. The word of the Lord remains forever. Now if God tells us that part of the word is no longer binding, then that's what we accept. We don't live under the old covenant, but we still learn from it. But the new covenant, that has not been replaced. That is still what God gave us 2,000 years ago, but it's the Word of God. And did you notice that idea of imperishable seed? I found an interesting article in preparing for this lesson from Smithsonian Magazine, March 26, 2015. The article is entitled, "Tree Grown from 2,000-Year-Old Seed Has Reproduced." And this seed had been nicknamed the Methuselah Tree. Why was that? Well, the seed had been found in the ruins of Masada, that Jewish fortress where they took their last stand before the Romans finally overwhelmed them. But they found this seed there, and they said, well, this has got to be at least 2,000 years old. Wonder if it will still bear fruit, if it will still grow. And they planted it, and there it is. I mean, that's not an actual picture of that tree. That's a date palm, which is what that tree was. But the idea is, even though the seed was ancient, it still had potency. And the same article went on to talk about some Russian scientists who had found seed that was buried beneath ice. And they speculate it's thousands of years old, and it also had grown and sprouted and done just what seed does. Well, if it does it in the physical realm, why wouldn't it still work that way in the spiritual? God has given us spiritual seed. That is the Word of God. And even though it's ancient, that does not affect whether it's going to be binding, whether it's going to help us. It's still God's Word. So with objects that are developed by humans, yeah, they become antiquated. Again, go to Cracker Barrel. I'm giving you permission to go to Cracker Barrel after we dismiss and just study, do some homework there and look around, pick out one of those things you want to take home with you and actually begin using. Well, those things are antiquated. But the Word of God, even though the Bible is older than what you're going to find at Cracker Barrel, it's still the Word of God. That takes us to the second part of the lesson. Why should I open my heart to ancient words? Because again, that's what that song says, isn't it? We have come with open hearts. Oh, let your ancient word impart. And so that's the question. Why should I do that? I mean, okay, it's God's word, but is it really valuable for me? Oh, yes. Very valuable. Let's just do a quick tour of a few passages to impress upon us again how this Bible is so good for so many reasons. And let's start out at Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and you may already know this is the longest psalm of all of them. There's 150 psalms in the book of Psalms. This psalm has 176 verses. And so we're just going to go through all the verses. No, we're not going to do that. That would take a while. We'd be ancient by the time we got through with that. But we are going to just sample five different passages in Psalm 119. And I want you to see the various things for which the Word of God is valuable. And let's start out in verse 9. We're going to read verse 9 and verse 11 together because it's basically the same idea. He says in Psalm 119, verse 9, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word." That is, I want to be pure in the sight of God. How would I do that? God has told me. And so I go to his word. Go to verse 11, the same idea. "I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." And so there's one reason why the Word of God is so valuable and why we should open our hearts to it. And that is, I want to stand before God one day and know that I am acceptable to him. And where can I find that kind of information? From the world? Are you going to get thousands of answers from the world? But only one answer is authoritative, and that's God's word. And that's what he says. I come to your word with an open heart because I want to be pure, Lord. I don't want to be found in sin. Look at another example found in verse 18. Psalm 119 and verse 18. "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." Now, our first thought might be, well, wondrous things, he's talking about the creation of the world, the plagues upon Egypt, you know, the flood of the world, all of those kinds of things. I think it may point in a different direction. In fact, I wanted to know, what does wondrous mean? And most translations have wondrous or something like that. This translation, the New Century Version, says it this way: open my eyes to see the miracles in your teachings. And I wonder if that may point to the fact that in your word, I can see miraculous changes in my life if I accept it. I have witnessed that in a number of individuals through the years. People that lived a life that was very much devoted to sin, and yet now, look at where they are. They are servants of God, giving him their best. And I wonder, is that what he's saying? I see wondrous things. It gives me hope, because I know my life has been messed up in the past. But if I come to you, Lord, you're going to show me change. You're going to show me transformation that can happen in my life. And another reason why we open our hearts to the Word of God. Go to verse 50. Psalm 119 and verse 50. Here again, this is my comfort in my affliction. We all understand that. We are afflicted at times, maybe by physical illness, maybe by people that are hurling insults at us, or maybe, you know, financial distress. It could be a lot of things. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. Now, what promise is he talking about? Well, I don't know, to be honest, because there's a lot of promises in the Word of God. But the point is, if I go to the Word of God with my heart open, then I am preparing myself for those times of affliction when I'm going to be very distressed. And God can comfort me through his Word. Would you not say that's a good reason to come to the Word of God with an open heart? Again, Psalm 119, look at verse 89. Verse 89, forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. That means it's true, and it's going to always be the same. Is there anything the same in this life? Well, yeah, there are. How about the laws of mathematics? Have they changed over the centuries, over the millennia? Maybe we didn't formulate them the same way, but 2 + 2 has always come out to be 4. It's always going to be that way. Well, what about the law of gravity? Has there been times when a person could step off of a cliff and float upward? I don't know of such a time. The law of gravity has always been the same. And he's saying here, your laws, Lord, are fixed. They are firmly fixed in the heaven. And so if I want to know something that is true, I come to your word. And I know what I'm reading is going to be true. And then finally in verse 160, the sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. And so again, the word of God is true, and now we're learning there are rules in that word of God for us, guidelines, suggestions, maybe you want to call them if that makes you more comfortable. But God is trying to show us this is the way to live. This is righteous, meaning right. I want to live right. God shows me if I open my heart and allow him to do that. Yeah, the book of Psalms was written under that old covenant. I understand that. But there's nothing obsolete in Psalm 119. It's not talking about sacrifices and worshiping God under that covenant. It's talking about wisdom, and especially the wisdom of coming to the Word of God. What a great place to begin our study of why I should appreciate the Word of God. But let's look at a couple of other passages before we're finished. Let's talk now about how Christians, and we're looking now in the New Testament, how Christians are to come to God's Word with open hearts. And I mean regularly, frequently. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, 14 through 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 14 through 17. The Apostle Paul is writing this. He's writing to Timothy, who has been a very dear co-worker, a younger co-worker. And Paul knows his life is probably getting near the end, and he says some things that are just heartfelt here. Listen to what he says in 2 Timothy 3, beginning in verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So Paul says, continue in the things you've learned. Well, what did he learn? Sacred writings. He's talking about God's word. For them at that time, that was the Old Testament. But continue in it, Timothy, because you know this gives salvation. Salvation comes through this sacred writing that you've been given. And then in verses 16 and 17, he continues, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Again, why should I bother with the Bible? It's such an ancient book. It's breathed out by God. You remember how God created Adam? And Adam at first was just a body. I mean, that's all it was. It was a body. And then God breathed into his nostrils, and he became a living human being. That's what this book is. It's much more than just a book that's been printed on paper or converted into technology. This is something God breathed out. Why? So that we might have life. And without this book, without these writings, we don't have life. Not real life. Yes, I want to open my heart to this book. God gave it to me. There must be good reasons for him to give it to me. Let me learn. Let me find out what he says. And then this passage in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the writer says, the word of God is living and active. These words on this paper, it's living, it's active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, of discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Now, when we hear that word sword, we think of a knight in shining armor, maybe, and that really big sword he carries, you know, that would be heavier than we could use. It's just a huge object. The word in the Greek, though, is makaira. And it can refer to something that can be concealed, like a dagger. In fact, one definition I found in the LEH Greek English Lexicon of the Septuagint notes that the word here is sometimes used as a sacrificial knife, a sacrificial knife, something you could hold in your hand easily and do precision cutting. And that makes me think of maybe like a surgeon's scalpel, something that in his hands or her hands is used in order to cut away that which is bad and to make life possible longer. And when I read Hebrews 4:12, that's the vision I get. Look at it again. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, sharper than any surgeon's scalpel, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. If I let it, this word will search me, and it will help me to see that's cancerous. That's sinful. I need to get rid of that. Lord, help me to get rid of that diseased part of my life. We're urged, we're commanded to come to the Word of God regularly. And so I beseech you, look at this book differently if you've not been looking at it this way. Don't just toss it down, you know, when you get home if you're carrying a handheld Bible. Or through the week, if you're using one on your smartphone, don't use your phone for everything else other than the Bible. Come to the Word of God regularly. He's given it so that we might have life. And that old adage that we've been hearing in recent years, what does Bible mean? the acrostic, basic information before leaving Earth. That's trite, but it's true. It's absolutely true. This is basic. God's telling me you need to know these things to live life the best way possible and to be ready to stand before my Son on Judgment Day. I'm going to mention a date. What's the first thing that comes into your mind? April 15th. You know it. You're already thinking it. We're not close to that. Don't even mention it. Well, we're programmed. We think of that. And when we file our taxes, one thing is we want to have the most recent information. If we're doing them ourselves, I can't go by what my father used. He had a good handbook on filing your taxes. I'm going to use what my father used. That may completely be scrapped by now. You need the most recent information, or else you're going to be hit with a penalty, or maybe even worse. But we're coming up on an examination of our lives one day. And we want to have the most recent information to get ready for that. The most recent information is almost 2,000 years old. I know people have added to it. Not talking about what man has added. That doesn't bother me. It doesn't concern me. I want what is authoritative. I want what God has said. And for that, I turn to ancient words. I pray you will as well. And if this morning you're thinking, well, what do I do to get ready? If I'm not a Christian, how do I become a Christian? Let me take you to those ancient words. The Bible says very clearly, hear the gospel. Decide whether you believe that Jesus really is the Son of God or just another man. And if you believe that he is God's Son, the Christ, and you're ready to turn away from your sins, repenting of them, then today confess your faith in him and be baptized. Be baptized. That's just what Jesus commanded in Mark 16, 16. That's what Peter commanded on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, 38. It's what you find over and over and over again throughout the book of Acts and in the epistles. I'm giving you ancient words to your question, how do I become a Christian? If you'll receive them, and if you're ready to live faithfully for the Lord the rest of your life, we want you to do that today. And for all Christians who have let things lapse, they're not really following those ancient words. The world is dictating their values and behavior more than God. It's time to repent. It's time to turn your life toward God and pray for forgiveness for whatever sins may be in your life. We'd love to pray with you and encourage you if we can help. Please come while we stand and sing.
Unto thee, O Lord. I trust in thee, praise thee,
We're always happy to welcome new people into our family here at Central, and that's what we're able to do again this morning. You may already have met, and I hope you have, Steve and Lindsay Allen. They have been in the process of moving here for the last several weeks as Steve has transitioned with a job to our area. But now their furniture is all here. There's no reason to go back to Arkansas. And so this morning they met with a couple of our elders and they said, we want to be part of this family. And we are so thankful for that. They have two children, but they're both grown and on their own now. So we'll see them occasionally maybe, but we're so glad to welcome Steve and Lindsay. Will you both stand for a moment so we can know who to welcome and get to know this couple. They're ready to go. They've talked already about how they want to serve the Lord. And so be sure to welcome Lindsay and Steve. Thank you. Let's again go to God in prayer. Father, we are just so thankful for your blessings and the blessing of this church. We know the church worldwide is a blessing, Father, but this is our family. This is our immediate family. And Lord, we love this church. We thank you for the elders that lead us and for every member that makes it such a special family. And thank you, Lord, for Lindsay and Steve, for their coming our way, for their desire to be a part of our body and to be a part of the work. We pray that they will find a warm welcome here, Father, and that all of us will reach out to them and welcome them, and may we together be a bright, shining light for this world and this community. Thank you, Lord. Bless others who may be considering coming into your kingdom, and give them the courage to make that decision. Lord, be with us. We love you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before we share the Lord's Supper together, let's sing 366 by Christ Redeemed.
Please make sure that you have your communion set close by and handy. Tim talked about Cracker Barrel a few times today, so it's okay to talk about ancient things. And I was thinking about these sermon notes as I was filling it out today, and some don't use them, some use them, some use them electronically, but I was thinking how many of them I have. And our family's attended at Central more than 20 years, so I feel like I have at least 1,000 of these ancient words. And they're sorted through files and Bibles and all over the place, but there's a value to them. They're special to me. There's knowledge, there's wisdom in this. We get attached to things, and I feel like I'm a little bit attached to these. We get attached to people as well. Again, another family has placed membership, and I know it without even knowing it, that Tim has said, this is the last move you can ever make. He says it to every family. We get attached to people. The ancient words of the Bible, over 2,000 years old, written, inspired of God, written by man, to tell stories and illustrations and provide witness. Those instructions are how we live our life. And Christ was born, he lived, he taught, he was an example. He gathered and people followed and they became attached to him. And he would tell them, I'm going to leave. And they didn't understand. And he would say, this is the last time I'm going to be with you. This is the last time I'm going to eat this meal with you. And they didn't understand. So he looked forward to a meal with them, and he gathered, and he prayed, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Christ. We thank you for your Son. We thank you that he came of you, that he lived and he died and he taught. Father, we thank you that his blood and his body were given for us. Father, because no one else could pave the way for our forgiveness of sin but Christ. And Father, we thank you. We know that his disciples were attached. And Father, we're attached. And Father, we thank you. We thank you so much for Christ, for his body. Father, as we take this bread that represents, we take it knowing this we do in celebration of Christ, his life, your plan, his death, our obedience, our faith in your mercy. Lord, we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Let's pray. Father, as we take this cup, we know that Christ had prayed, if there was another way, you would have provided. But Lord, this was your plan for us, out of love. And Father, as we take this cup, we do it remembering Christ. We do this the same way that Christ did with the apostles. Lord, we know that his blood is the only thing that saves us. And Lord, we thank you and we take this in remembrance of him. Amen. this time, we'll also pray for our giving. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We are so blessed. And Father, even when we list them, we lose and we miss things. We are so blessed, from the smallest to the largest blessing. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for our life and our family and our health. Father, for the abilities. Father, we thank you for the people around us and the relationship. We thank you for our role models. We thank you for those that encourage us and those that we can encourage. And Lord, we thank you that someone, whether it was our family or a friend or a stranger, shared you with us. And Father, we thank you. And as we give, Lord, we give out of love. We give knowing that our giving represents your giving. And Father, you gave everything to us. Father, as we give, let us give. Please, please magnify. And Father, we thank you that this is used to spread your word throughout here in this church and throughout the world. In Christ's name, amen.
Let's close with a prayer and a few announcements. Let's pray together. Lord, we are so thankful for this time together. We pray that you have been exalted in this worship service. We look to you with gratitude, thanksgiving. Father, we in all things ask that you remain with us at all times. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. A few